Welcome to Hive Mind. I'm Meg. I'm here with Eli. Hey, Eli.
Good afternoon, Meg.
Top of the afternoon to you. What have you been watching?
Okay. First of all, did you watch the final episode of Quiet on Set?
I did not.
That was a good choice.
Yeah. Based on your feedback, I did not watch it. Yeah. I should clarify.
So we recorded an entire episode on this already. Meg and I had watched the series Quiet on Set about the kind of toxic years of a certain area of Nickelodeon in which some kids experienced some abuse. At that time, they had just announced that they were going to air one like special final episode, which was reportedly going to include some additional bombshell disclosures. And it was going to include an interview with some of the kids, now adults, who were going to talk about like extra things that happened to them. And so I was like, okay, you know, give it a try. As we discussed on this podcast, I think we both had a lot of issues with Quiet on Set.
Mm-hmm.
The areas in which they decided to focus were very odd. And you and I both thought they should have just made this a series about Drake Bell's terrible experience of abuse. And it was, I think, irresponsible and tacky of them to bring in all these other people to spend time talking about Amanda Bynes, who did not want to participate in this thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I go into the final episode to be like, well, we'll see what other bombshell, you know, things they talk about. There's nothing new in the final episode. Nothing.
Yeah.
They just, it's like interviews with some of the same people and a couple of new people who like complain about Amanda Bynes, like getting attention when she was a kid. And so I was so grossed out by it that like three quarters of the way through it, I just turned it off. I was like, did they just want more money? Is that all this was? They're like, oh, we could probably milk one more episode out of this.
I don't know. The fact that they like tacked on one more seemed very weird to me.
Weird. And I will say, I took to the internet to see like what people were saying about it. And I saw like a pretty common consensus of people being really annoyed that the final episode gave no other information. They essentially lied to us to try and get us to come there. And then it was just like kids, basically kids, the kids that are now adults being interviewed, being like, yeah, Dan Schneider was the worst. And here's another example of what he did that was the worst, that were things that were just like, that's not really an example of him. It's like, that's kind of a neutral thing that he did that now you are just like assigning meaning to, that feels like more and more leaps. And so it's kind of watering down actually the more effective parts of this series. I just thought it was really sloppy. Do not recommend.
Okay.
I watched the film Morning Glory, 2010 mm-hmm. film. Have you seen it?
I saw it, I think, opening weekend.
Oh, good for you. We watched it because it stars Rachel McAdams, Harrison Ford, and Diane Keaton. And I'm like, put those three in a movie together. Obviously, I'm going to watch it.
Right. I don't remember Diane Keaton in that at all.
It's too bad that you don't, because she's pretty delightful in it.
I'm sure she is.
She was maybe my favorite part and favorite character. But what is so funny about Morning Glory, if you're not familiar with it, it's Rachel McAdams. She's 28 and she gets hired to be the executive producer of like basically the CBS morning show.
Yeah.
Which is already a hilarious premise.
Right.
Because they're like, of course we would want this 28-year-old to come and be the executive producer of one of the biggest news shows in America on network television. And it stars Diane Keaton and another guy that Rachel McAdams fires like on day one. And then she goes out and recruits Harrison Ford to come be like the other. This movie is the morning show, Meg.
Yeah.
But it's like way sloppier than the morning show.
Hard to imagine. The mind cannot comprehend.
It is so funny. It's a pretty ridiculous premise. The execution is pretty ridiculous. There's this entire plot point where like the head of the network goes to Rachel McAdams and he's like, you're doing such a good job that NBC called me and said they want to hire you on their network to be an executive producer for the Today Show, or whatever network does the Today Show. And I told them, we don't want to let you go. And I'm like, why would they call him for that? Like, can you imagine, like, you write for Deseret News. Can you imagine if, like, the head of Deseret News was like, the Tribune called us and said they want you, but we told them no.
Yeah, that makes no sense.
It makes no sense. Like, no, they would be contacting her.
Right.
Not her boss.
By the way, we're going to try and recruit someone from your team. Just a heads up.
It's ridiculous. But I will say, We had a great time.
Good. I mean, yeah.
They're so charming. All three of them are so charming. And if you just go into it with like no expectations that it's going to make any sense, it's a good time.
All right. I love that.
Yeah, it's a good time. Survivor's going great. It's been kind of a fun season. We're a little bit past the midpoints. This is where it usually starts picking up. Some good characters. Jeff Probst always at the light.
Mm-hmm.
Stick with it, everyone. We'll have lots to say, I'm sure, in the next several weeks as this season wraps up. And then I've been watching Ripley because of you.
Mm-hmm.
And I assume you want to talk about Ripley. Or are we saving it for a special episode?
I mean, I thought we'd do it.
Okay. We're going to finish it this weekend. So maybe we talk
about
it.
We'll talk about Ripley at length for our next episode.
Yeah, so Ripley's on Netflix. It stars
Andrew Scott.
Dakota Fanning. Dakota Fanning?
Yeah.
No, Emma. Wait, is it Dakota Fanning in this?
Yeah.
Are you sure? I thought it was Elle Fanning.
No, Elle Fanning's in The Great.
Do I not know who anybody is anymore?
I don't know. I'm a little worried about you.
Hang on. I'm pulling up this cat.
It's also so hot in here. You might be like having an episode.
So hot. You know what? I think you initially texted me that it was somebody else, and I've had that in my head. I'm going to pull up the receipts.
Yeah, get the receipts. Are you done talking about what you want to watch?
Yeah, you can go ahead and start.
Okay. What you have been watching? Sorry.
I checked the receipts, and you were right.
Thank you for admitting
that. I'm
just
hallucinating at this point.
Thank you for admitting that.
Okay.
I read a couple books.
Meg.
I know. Are you shocked?
Berenstain Bears Learn to Share.
Exactly. And East of Eden. I had never read it before.
I read that a couple years ago. Isn't it incredible?
It is breathtaking.
Yes.
It is so good.
Yes.
Read Steinbeck. It for a book club.
Mm-hmm.
I did not think I was going to make it through. Did 2X on Audible and could not stop listening. Like I kept making up reasons to like go for a walk and stuff to listen. It is so good.
Have you read Grapes of Wrath?
I never read Grapes of Wrath. Can you believe that?
It's my favorite. I think it's my favorite book.
Okay.
And so now that you've read Eden, you should read Grapes.
I also read a book called Wellness, and the author's name just escaped me. About a couple in their early 40s who are at the bottom of the happiness curve, as it's called. It is by Ari Liakos. And how they're navigating that and both of their personal histories that have brought them to this point. And I liked it a lot. I think it would be, I don't think it's for everyone, but it talks a lot about like the wellness industry and how we're all trying to seek this sort of happiness and what that actually means and what it means to be in a marriage and what it means to be a parent. So it spoke to me like at exactly that point in life, right? And I really enjoyed it. So
interesting.
And then I'm not going to do any reading for a while because I think I've hit my yearly quota. Conan O'Brien was on Hot Ones.
Everyone is so obsessed with him right now.
Did you watch him?
He's so delightful.
He's always been so delightful and he's always been so consistently delightful. And he is so funny on that episode.
It's pretty rare, if ever. He might be the only one ever to host a late night talk show who is just universally beloved.
Yeah.
Like every single one of them has like a fan base and then a base of people who hate them. And that has been the case my entire life.
Yeah.
But he's the only one that I'm like, I don't think you bring him up to anyone. The worst anyone will say is he's not the funniest.
Yeah. Or like his humor is not really for me.
But nobody's like, I can't stand that guy or like, what a jerk. Like people seem to just universally love
him. I think he's a genuinely kind person. And he said something in that interview that made me think like, oh, this is a very kind person because he said the name of his head writer.
Mm.
They were talking about writing sketches and he said the name of his head writer, like someone who largely goes uncredited in the comedy world and usually never gets their flowers. But he like actually name checked him and gave him a lot of credit. I thought that was very nice. And then since he was like trending, people have been sharing that clip. He's at a room, I think it's with a bunch of his writers, and they do a bit about Jeffrey Epstein.
Okay.
Have you seen this?
No.
Where Conan starts talking about Jeffrey Epstein. One of his writers says, Jeffrey Epstein, the New York financier?
Uh-huh.
And Conan's like, playing into the bit. He's like, well, you know, some stuff has happened with Jeffrey Epstein. He's like, the New York financier with the island. And Conan's like, yeah, he's been in a bit of trouble. He says, should we call Ghislain? Like, it is just like the delivery is so funny.
Uh-huh.
Every time it comes up, I keep watching it. I've watched it like 17 times.
Huh.
Look it up.
Okay.
We have been watching Ripley, like you said. My kids yesterday after school watched Jurassic Park for some reason.
Oh, all three of them?
Yeah. It's not so scary on a small screen.
Okay.
And like some of the animation, it's a little like, that's animated. Like, I don't think it's as a scary an experience for them watching it as it was for me.
Yeah.
Watching it as a kid. And they loved it.
Oh, cool.
And then they played Jurassic Park all afternoon.
Oh, well, it's a terrific movie that stands, it holds up, right?
A good movie.
Yeah.
Such a good movie. We went and saw Kung Fu Panda 4.
There are four of them now.
Spring break.
Mm-hmm.
C minus. Had a great time. Popcorn, Diet Coke.
This is not my genre, but I do remember seeing the first one and being like, this is delightful.
Yeah, it's not like that. It's okay. Very much like we all wanted a paycheck.
It's falling apart.
Kids loved it.
Is it Jack Black?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we watched Scoop, which is what we're talking about today. Scoop is a movie about the BBC's interview with Prince Andrew. This was fun for me because I was only vaguely aware of that interview.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like sometimes I watch these movies. I was like, yeah, I saw the interview. Like, I know how this went. Like, this was like novel to me. So I enjoyed it for that reason. Tell me your thoughts.
In terms of entertainment, I give it an A. Like, it kept my attention the entire time. There were aspects of the film that are, like, pretty on the nose.
Yeah.
And so we can get into some of those because some of them are pretty funny. But, like, it moves at a really nice pace. I was never bored watching it. I was always like, what's going to happen next? I was into the characters of the film. Like, all in all, it was a great, like, 90 minutes.
Tight
90.
90 minutes.
Fast. And the content is the most interesting thing. Like, for me, it was like, yeah, if you had told me the premise of this movie, I didn't know the premise going in, actually. I didn't know anything about it. But if you had told me the premise of the movie, I'd be like, that's a film I would watch. Like,
and they could have drawn it out. Like, they could have focused a lot more on the main character and her personal life. Why is she a single mom?
Mm-hmm. I was really worried they were going to.
I know. And it was so nice that they just didn't.
Yeah.
Because, like, I don't care.
All we know about her is she's got a kid. They have a great relationship together. And her mom helps her out because she's a single mom.
And she's a producer at the BBC.
Yeah.
Coming from the Daily Mail.
Yeah. And so she feels, like, inferiority complex because she's at a more serious network. And the people kind of view her with a little bit of skepticism because they're like, well, her journalistic standards are not going to be like ours because she comes from the Daily Mail, which is a tabloid and so forth. And she's very, very well aware of that, needs to prove herself. And so the stakes for her are like pretty fun, but they're never that serious, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The worst case scenario is they don't get this interview.
Yeah.
I thought the acting was great.
Mm-hmm.
The actor who plays Prince Andrew, Rufus Sewell.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, oh, that guy. You know, like, he's been in a million things.
Mm-hmm.
Can't really name any of them except for The Diplomat, which he was Carrie Russell's husband in, and I only remember it because I hated that show so bad. The prosthetics they put on him look a little prosthetic-y.
Yeah.
Like, they make him look, they put face stuff on him to make him look heavier, and it just looks a little caked on, a little rubbery. Other than that, I thought his performance was great.
Did you feel like you were watching Margaret Thatcher a lot?
A little bit.
Because one of the main actresses in this film played Margaret Thatcher in The Crown.
I mean, Gillian Anderson, right?
Yeah. There were like moments where I was like, oh, I can like hear and see like the mannerisms that are kind of crossover for her that I'm like, oh, are those just her mannerisms?
And isn't she half British?
Like, oh, is she? I don't know.
Yeah, I think she goes, she can like, I think she speaks naturally in a British accent,
okay.
Which is crazy because she was on the X-Files as an American.
Mm-hmm.
Is it Gillian or Jillian?
I don't know. Who can say?
We're
no,
so
literally
uneducated.
No one knows.
The guy who played Jeffrey Epstein looked a lot like Jeffrey Epstein.
I was like, did they take Jeffrey Epstein's picture and like just digitally put him into this film? It was kind of creepy.
Crazy, right? What do you remember about this like time with Prince Andrew?
So similar to you, I was just like, I was only passingly aware of the interview, and I have been aware that Prince Andrew has ties to Jeffrey Epstein. Like, I remember when it started getting reported that, you know, Jeffrey Epstein was going down. Obviously, it engaged in decades of trafficking and was pretty blatant about it because rich and powerful and he could get away with it. And it started getting reported that Prince Andrew was close friends with him and was traveling with him a lot and on his private jet, like all the time, and going to his island and staying at his house. And what people started saying, which I agree with this, is Prince Andrew, of course, like denies, like, well, I didn't know that he was doing all that stuff. And of course, I wasn't engaging in it. That's two things that he's saying. I didn't know he was doing it. And also, I wasn't engaging in it. And I will just say, I have had the experience probably three times in my life where somebody that I'm like friends with or at least acquaintances with gets into like serious criminal trouble for something that they did that I'm like shocked, where I'm like, oh, you really don't know people.
You've had it happen that often?
I can think of three times in my life.
Whoa.
Where none of these people were people that I was really close to, but they're people that I would have been like, oh, that's a friend of mine.
Yeah.
That then got into like serious legal trouble because they did one like really bad thing that I'm just like, I would have never guessed that, you know? And so like Prince Andrew is trying to do that where he's just like, well, I didn't know. But
you mean you're Prince Andrew in that scenario?
I guess I would be a Prince Andrew in that scenario. But what makes Jeffrey Epstein different and Prince Andrew and Jeffrey Epstein's relationship different is Jeffrey Epstein, it was his personality was this.
Mm-hmm.
Like his entire life was engaging in this criminal activity. And Prince Andrew was spending tons of time with him. And so I have the hardest time believing that you can spend that much time with this man and not know that like his entire enterprise is human trafficking and he's like, you know, engaging in all this activity like constantly. So I have a hard time believing that.
And had already been to prison.
And then the second point when Prince Andrew says, and even if I did know about it, I wouldn't, you know, I of course didn't engage in any of it. It's like, but if you know that that's who this guy is and you are like, I'm not okay with engaging with that, then you don't hang out with that guy anymore.
Right.
And so like,
it's not, I stole a loaf of bread one time.
Yeah.
It's like pretty bad stuff consistently ongoing.
And so like, of course the public is going to be like, if you're willing to spend a lot of time with this dude who did all of this bad stuff, then I don't believe that you didn't know he was doing it. And I also don't believe that you weren't engaging in some of it. Like that just, you kind of are the people that you spend your time with. Right.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways. And like, of course, like it's possible that he wasn't engaging in this kind of thing. But like, of course, everybody's going to think that he did.
Right. And I think the part of the movie, and I'm assuming from the actual interview, where it really makes it clear that Andrew should be held to at least some accountability is when they ask him, well, why did you stay with him? And his answer was, it was a comfortable place to stay. Like, there was just like no thought given to the consequences of engaging with this man.
Yeah.
In whatever way he did.
I'm really worried. It sounds like I'm spending my time with Jeffrey Epstein's. I want to be clear what I
don't think anyone thinks that, but go ahead. And
what I was referring to
after we recorded last week, I was like, are people going to think we're like apologizing for like abusive people? Like I got really sure. But then I think we like went to so many lengths to like over explain that we weren't.
Yeah. Podcasts are dangerous. What I was referring to is like, I have had three different times in my life where I have known someone that like a friend will text me and be like, hey, when was the last time you saw so-and-so? And I'll be like, I don't know, in college. And they'll be like, well, he just got arrested for XYZ. Where I'm like, whoa, I would have never guessed his life would have ended up there. That's what I'm talking about.
No, I get it. You're not sleeping at their house.
No.
And having known they already went to prison for the thing that they're now being accused of again.
Yeah. So I'm drawing the comparison to like Prince Andrew wants us to think that that's his situation, what I just described. But the reality is, no, this is like somebody he's spending a lot of time with whose entire life was this activity.
Right. I have a tough question for you.
Okay.
Are we royal obsessed?
Yes.
You and I?
Yeah.
Oh. But I don't like that. I don't want that.
There are several degrees worse than us, Meg.
Okay.
Because you and I, like, I have noticed once Kate Middleton put out the video about cancer, you and I checked out.
Yeah.
Like at that point, we were like, okay. Like we were like really intrigued with it. And then she put that video out. And then we had that brief moment where we were like, was it bad for us to be intrigued? But then we were like, Well, no, because the PR from the Royal Palace was genuinely baffling.
Yeah.
But then we checked out. There are plenty of people who didn't check out after that.
I did see someone post a picture of a chair where, like, on one side of Kate, the rails are closer together. On the other side, they're wider. I'm like, that's perspective. We've like,
gotta,
that side's closer to you. She's at an angle.
We got
to
check out at this point.
I'm worried about people now. Yeah. I'm like, that. No, but that's like how visuals work.
Okay, but what? Since we brought up Kate, to me, the most interesting thing about this movie is especially relevant right now because of the last few months of the Kate drama. And that is that in this film, the protagonist goes through all these great lengths to set up an interview between the show that she helps run and Prince Andrew. And it's a very difficult thing. She has to thread a very fine needle, but they end up setting up this interview and they go and have the interview. And Prince Andrew is a disaster.
Yeah.
A disaster in this interview. And the newspaper are all kind of watching this like, oh my gosh. And the interview ends and it's like this very tense scene where nobody quite knows how to react because the news people don't want to gloat like we got him.
Yeah.
But the Royal Palace people, including Andrew, clearly all think he did a fantastic job.
Yeah.
And because they think he did a fantastic job, no one from the royal family tries to pull the interview, which they had some ability to do because the BBC is like a publicly owned network and like the Crown has like a lot of persuasion. And so they're all like, is the Queen going to call us and tell us we can't air it? And if she does, like, how do we deal with that? Because clearly the royal family would not want this aired. But the royal family and the apparatus around them have all marinated in their own Kool-Aid so much that they think he did a fantastic job and they're perfectly happy to put it out into the world. And it's the last few months, I think that's what we've seen from the PR at Kensington Palace is they keep putting out all of this stuff about Kate that just everybody is like, this is bizarre. And it seems like they think like, oh, if we just say this, that'll shut it all down because there's no one in the room telling them no. Like there was nobody in the room who could tell Prince Andrew, like, you were a disaster in that interview.
This is why it's important to hire people that are not like you.
Yes.
You need people who are not like you in the room with you to offer a different perspective all the time.
Yes.
This is how organizations fall into bad traps in the day of the internet. All they spend time with are people just like them, and they have no other perspective and no idea how the outside world will react.
Yeah. I think about, like, frequently Skylar and I pull each other back from, like, a bad decision.
Mm-hmm.
Not, like, life-ending decisions, but it's just like, no, don't say that.
Right.
And, like, Skylar will do that for me where, like, the next day I'm like, he was so right. I'm so glad somebody was willing to be like, you're going to sound stupid if you do that.
Totally.
You know, and that's what I think. I mean, that was the interpretation I got from this movie is that they all thought he did a great job.
I mean, at one point, one of his aides tries and stops the interview to clarify something. And he says, no, we're fine.
Mm-hmm.
But like the Queen's press secretary was there and didn't have a problem with it. And you're like, how did you not have a problem with it?
Uh-huh.
But yeah, like you said, like they were just high on their own supply.
And it almost like, because again, I wasn't familiar with the actual interview or the response to it in real life. And so while I was watching it, I was like, I think he's doing a terrible job, but they all seem to think he's doing a great job. So do I just fundamentally not understand like the British people and what their response is going to be to this thing? But the conclusion of the film, spoiler alert, is Prince Andrew is all satisfied with, you know, how he's done. And then you see him climb out of a bathtub because his phone just keeps buzzing and buzzing and buzzing. And he goes and opens his phone. And the implication is he's seeing that, like, everybody's just like, this was a disaster. And the conclusion of the film is that he's stripped of his royal titles and is, like, you know, kind of exited from the scene. And I just found it really fascinating.
Yeah. Don't hang out with Jeffrey Epstein.
Yeah. So flaws.
Well, some of the writing's a little hammy, peppered throughout. Like there's a moment where there's three women in the studio and Gillian Anderson says, three women, never see that when I started here. And I was like, yeah, okay. This is, you know, show don't tell, you know?
Yeah.
Show don't tell. You know, and like a lot of cliches, like they're setting up the interview prep and the outsider from the Daily Mail isn't saying what she wants to say. And Gillian Anderson can tell, is like, say it. And she's like, let him talk, you know, and then obviously in the interview, let him talk. there could have been some subtler touches, yeah, but I was never infuriated by them.
This movie also, on several different occasions, did my least favorite trope that I've ever seen in any... Like, I see this in a lot of movies. If you ever watched the series House, this they did this in every episode.
MD House? House MD?
Yes.
The Doctor?
The Doctor.
Told it like it was.
Every single episode, they did the exact same thing, and this movie did it. And what it is like... The first three quarters of the episode of House, they would be trying to solve a medical mystery and they couldn't figure it out. And then they'd all be frustrated. They'd be sitting around a room and somebody would say something kind of pointless or meaningless and be like, should we get some lunch? Does anybody want lunch? I made some turkey sandwiches. And then House would go, what did you say? And she'd be like, I made some turkey sandwiches. He's like, no, before that. She's like, does anybody want lunch? And he'd be like, lunch. We need the patient to eat lunch. She didn't eat lunch yesterday. And that's when, you know, and it's like, you didn't need her to repeat the lunch thing. Like, if that truly triggered an idea in you, you wouldn't be like, say that again.
Right.
You'd just be like, oh my gosh, I just had an idea. And this movie, they do it the morning of the interview. It's the interview supposed to happen. And the newscaster woman, Jillian, she's out running with her dog and her dog gets off leash and runs away and she's trying to chase it. She can't get the dog. And then finally she stops chasing it and the dog comes back to her. And this man's sitting on a bench with a cane and he's like, dogs, when you chase them, they run away. But when you stop chasing them, they come to you.
Have you
and
ever...
And she, like, looks up into the sky, and I was like, this is so stupid.
Yeah, we did laugh out loud on that part. And have you ever heard anything incoherent from someone who voluntarily speaks at you from a park bench? Because I have not.
And the thing is, I'm not against metaphors, but, like, if you're going to use that metaphor... First, they didn't need the park bench man. They could have had her have the experience where she's like trying to get the dog and then the dog comes back to her and then she goes to the people and she's like, I had an experience with my dog this morning and it made me think about how like I shouldn't be chasing him for information. I should let him come to me.
No,
if they had done it that way.
They don't even need that. They just need to show the dog running, her trying to chase him, then her standing back and him coming back to her. That's all they
need.
That
would be even that would be even better. But just like, I hate that trope so much because it makes you feel like this movie thinks I'm dumb.
Most movies think we're dumb. Sorry to say. Maybe we are. I don't know anymore. I only read 2 books a year.
Yeah.
I did think it was good. Was there anything offensive? I don't remember anything.
I mean, obviously the content is about sex trafficking, but it's certainly not a graphic film. They don't really describe anything that's all that graphic.
TV-14 is the rating they have on IMDb. So, like, I'd show this to, like, a
teenager.
Teen.
Yeah, me too. I pretty broadly recommend, especially if you have any interest at all in the royal family. It's pretty fascinating. It's a piece of the royal family that we don't see much media on.
Yeah, and very suspiciously erased from The Crown, our, you know, American document of what the royals are like. So, cool. Yeah, check it out. Next week, we'll talk about Ripley. I'm excited to talk with you about it.
Yeah, me too.
Thanks so much for listening. Bye.